Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. It's Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, and it's NFL trade deadline day. We're actually going to be talking about the NFL trade deadline throughout the day on Grant and Danny, and at 4 p.m. we will know for sure if Washington made any moves or not. So keep it right here on The Fan for the next hour. By the way, at 4, in addition to the deadline, we're giving away tickets for somebody listening to go see Foo Fighters, but you got to be locked into Grant and Danny. What's up, Daniel?
Not much, my friend. Waiting. I'm waiting on those moves. I'm waiting on those announcements. I'm waiting on the horn. I'm waiting on the breaking news. Washington has done something to let everyone know that they know it's over, Johnny. And these veterans who have underperformed and are a huge part of this 3-6 record are playing elsewhere. Haven't heard anything yet.
Yesterday, you started the show demanding an update from Toby Altizer, demanding a major change to something, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And you got it with Joe Witt leaving the booth to go down to the field to call plays from the sideline.
I got it.
So let's see if you go 2-for-2 with your demands for change.
My major substantive change, the location of the same guy calling the same plays, is going to change. He's moving about, I don't know, what realistic distance from booth to sideline. What do you think it is? 70 yards?
Yeah, roughly.
A couple hundred feet is what we're talking about. Magic. Watch how it gets fixed. Watch it be perfect from here on out. Watch him turn into the 85 Bears just because Joe Witt's got a different vantage point. The way we call plays is not for everybody. Well, that's why we're going to change it.
He's going to have a lot better view of Jared Goff dropping back to pass on Sunday, for sure, up close and personal. It is Tuesday on Grant and Danny, which means Commanders Survivor. You guys are going to vote a player off the island. That might be easy after being down 28-0 and losing by 24 to the Seahawks. You're also going to have to find somebody to give immunity to. That might not be as simple. Commanders Survivor. You're going to go vote Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Send somebody packing. Give somebody immunity. Danny, who is left on the island as we have reached now past the midway point of this season?
Jaden Daniels, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who will join us at 5 p.m. today, by the way.
That's Debo Samuel. Season, 5 o'clock, 3 hours from now.
Debo, Laremy Tunsil on defense, Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, and Trey Amos, who is immune.
Frankie Louvu, who is suspended for one game because he has hip drop tackled 3 ball carriers.
I'm chomping at the bit to chat about that. We're going to do that. Yeah. I got plenty to say on that subject.
It's coming up at 2:30 right after our dentist appointment.
Thank you very much.
Here on Grant and Danny. But I wanted to start with the NFL trade deadline. So first things first on Washington. If they do anything, you'll hear it here first. We'll break it all down. I have been operating under the assessment that this will be a very quiet, borderline, non-existent trade deadline. I think it's easier if you're a buyer to go out and to make a splash and to make a big move and to give up picks. You actually saw them do that last year when they went and got Marshawn Lattimore, which to this point has not worked out at all. But you've seen Adam Peters in that capacity. It is a lot more difficult as a seller to get someone to give you close to 100 cents on the dollar for a veteran player. And I think that's the boat they're in right now. What I am interested in today is not do they trade a good veteran who would be part of the plans next year, like a Daron Payne or a Laremy Tunsil for 85 cents on the dollar or something like that, because it doesn't make a ton of sense to do that. I'm intrigued by your oldest players who are veteran leaders with this team, who are here mostly because they were chasing the chance at a championship. Think Von Miller at the edge. We're talking about Bobby Wagner at linebacker. We're considering Zach Ertz at tight end. Do any of those guys get called into the office last night, this morning, and asked, hey, We know you're here because we were in the NFC Championship game last year, and the thought was we had a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. Would you want to play elsewhere and have that shot with a contender now that that's not us? Or do you and the wife not want to uproot the family? Do you not want to worry about moving at this point? Have that conversation. I think you could probably get something for all three of those guys. That's the lane that they might be pushing the cart down today, in my opinion, on deadline day.
Interesting. I think they're when you do this culture route, which is what they've done, and I'm not criticizing it. It sounds it's eye roll worthy when you know they operate under cliches and you know those sorts of things. But that's the path they chose to try to let the league know this is who we are. Right? We want to be the cool destination. We want to be the place that takes great care of their players. That when, you know, the player goes down with a sprained ankle, we're going to let your spouse know, your parent know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. That's how we're going to operate. We're going to treat people great all the time. When you do that, the double edge is this, where you can't just be cutthroat. You can't just go, this ain't happening this year. Screw this guy. I'm going to go get a fifth and try to, you know, get a basket of picks to start improving my stock for the future. You kind of have to do what you just advised. You have to walk that path a little bit, right? Where you are, hey, do you want to go? What's up to you? Would you rather not uproot your family in the middle of the school year? Totally get that. We'll just keep you here. It's kind of the double-edged part to it. But my hope is that this is one of those, hey, let's have eyes wide open here. We took a shot, and it didn't work. I get why they took the shot. A lot of fans are mad today that they did. I'm not. I'm dealing pragmatically, though. This is what is. And here's what is. They're 3-6. They're brutalized by injuries. They're not going anywhere. The old veteran plan, where you can get guys on the cheap for short-term deals for one last ride, did not work. It blew up in their face. It's now time to redirect. It's now time to rechannel. And I'm hoping that it's a little more cutthroat than that, but your version of it is probably close to authentic.
I'd love to sit here and say they could trade 3 or 4 guys for a bunch of draft picks. And that would be what's best for business. We all would agree.
Sure.
It's time to sell. It didn't work. Now, the part that you said that I think needs to be highlighted and underscored is that it is revisionist history by the majority of the members of this fan base that are now very angry about the attempt to go. They didn't go all in. I refuse to even suggest that that's what they did.
What's the right term? I don't have one.
They upped their timeline.
They doubled down? I don't know.
They prioritized this year over 2 and 3 years from now, which after last year should have happened, by the way. Because if they were able to replicate last year in a few different ways, some of which was out of their control in terms of health, the schedule was going to be more difficult. But if they could have, then they would have made the postseason. And if you have a guy like Jaden Daniels playing at the top of his game, like he was last year in Tampa or in Detroit, you can beat better teams than you because you've got the better quarterback on a given day. Whoopsie-daisy, it's time for the NFC Championship game. So no problem with what they did. And most people listening didn't have a problem either. Sometimes you win on those gambles, and sometimes you lose. They lost.
Yep.
They bet on black, and it came up red. You know what I mean? They went evens, and it came up odd. Walk away from the table. That's fine. But today, they can't do the thing that most of us want them to do, probably. Do as much of it as you can. Make every phone call. Work the phones like Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness, where the guy tells you you can't hang up the phone. You just hit the button with your finger so you can make the next call. Outwork everybody if you're Adam Peters. Do all that. I'm just saying, realistically, what am I expecting? If they make a trade today, I'd be thrilled. I don't care what it is. If they sell on someone and get a pick swap, awesome. The more of those, the better. But as I've racked my brain for what could actually happen, I could see a team that can't stop the run, that has a real problem up the middle, saying, what if we had Bobby Wagner? You know, especially a team that needs leadership on defense or something. The Cowboys traded a 7th-round pick today for a 27-year-old linebacker. You're not getting anything. You should have no expectations of value coming back. You're probably actually not getting something back even worth losing him in the locker room for the rest of this lost season. But you could do something like that, maybe. Zach Ertz, similarly. What value does he have as a player? Probably not a ton. But is there a team that is desperate at tight end that could use a third-down war daddy who might want a chain mover in short yardage and could use a voice in the room as they get into a postseason run? Maybe you get a pick swap, a late-round pick. Von Miller's the one guy, I think, especially. Think about the idea of Von Miller when they brought him in here this offseason, dreaming about the big sack fumble at the end of a game, championship pedigree, a closer, a finisher. There aren't teams that could use that. And pass rush is like bullpen in baseball. You always want more.
You always need it.
I got two really good edge rushers. I want a third. I got three. Give me a fourth. I got four guys we like. You know, it'd be nice as a fifth. Again, I'm not saying you get a lot. But for ring chasers, guys, Von Miller doesn't care about the DMV necessarily. He's here because of the culture, because of a couple of the coaches, maybe a player or two that he dug and wanted to play with. But really, this was a Super Bowl opportunity. He said as much when he came here. That's gone now. So that's what I'm curious about. But my guess is, Danny, and I hope I'm wrong, that in an hour and 48 minutes from right now exactly, when the deadline comes, they made one very small move or no moves. If the over-under set it a half of a move, I would even go under that as a guess. But hopefully they pull one off. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I think so too. And what we'll never know, and here's, by the way, what I would ask for, but this is not the style of this group, by the way, Grant. What I would ask for, if nothing major happens, or even nothing minor, even very little happens, I would love for somehow the word to come out, however you'd like to do it, whoever you want to disseminate it through. You want a national guy, a local person, whatever. Washington just couldn't get the value they sought for many of their players, so they're going to stand pat. I need to know that you know. You follow me? I need to know. And I'm Adam Peters is smart. Newmark is smart. These guys know what they're doing. But I need them to prioritize the future over right now. And you don't make a trade just to hear yourself do it. But you had to be insulted out of the room to not make a trade.
But when you say you want to know that they know what? What is the confirmation
that
you're seeking?
That they needed to make trades. That they should be adding draft capital as much as possible. And if it's not there, I want it to be because someone told them, we're not giving it to you, rather than them not making the effort.
But you think it's possible that we see it and know it on the outside and they have no idea? I mean, Peters is a pretty sharp guy.
I think he's pretty sharp. But I want that confirmation. What I also fear is, we're not going to, you know, because of this mantra, because we live by these cliches, we're doing the next version of throwing a rock at the wall, the next version of we and brotherhood, ring the bell, that we're not going to quit on anybody. Nobody's quitting in here. We don't quit. This is culture. Because, again, they've walked this culture path instead of doing the thing that most teams do when you take over, which is get your teeth kicked in for a couple minutes, build some young talent base, and start going like the Eagles did from 2020.
This is the beauty of not having a GM and a head coach who are the same, though.
Oh, 100%.
This is something we talked a lot about during the Rivera era and the Marty Party and whatever that was, that charade. Adam Peters doesn't have to do the anybody, anytime, anywhere thing in his office. When he calls you to his office and he shakes your hand and says, thanks for the time, a little bit different than Dan Quinn's operation with the players.
Yep.
When he's meeting with you saying, we're never given an inch. I don't care if we're 10-0 or 0-10. Everybody we got is everybody we need. Everyone's in this room. Throw the rock at the wall, Rivera style. But the two being the same when it was Rivera, it's hypocritical. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing one thing with one hand and another thing with another hand. This is very easy to separate checks and balances. This is actually why this is the correct structure.
100%.
Because Peters can both be a culture guy who cares about the culture, but doesn't necessarily have to do the anybody, anytime, anywhere. His sign on his wall, his mantra might be anybody, anytime, anywhere until we're eliminated from playoff contention.
In which case, we'll build for the future.
And then I'll prioritize the future, which doesn't quite sound as good on
a poster.
It's
not as catchy.
I want to go to breaking news with our own Toby Altizer, because there was just a massive trade in the NFL moments ago, and it involves the NFC East. We've had some blockbusters today. We're going to get you all the updates as they come in on deadline day, so let's get to Toby right now. Jerry Jones is busy today. Earlier today, he traded for Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson, giving up a seventh-round pick. And the second blockbuster for the Jets today, the Cowboys are acquiring Jets defensive tackle Quinnen Williams for a first-round pick and more. The Jets have now traded Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner away from the team, and the Cowboys have acquired Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson today. I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on The Fan. Thank you, Toby. Much appreciated. Cowboys lost last night, right? I'm not misremembering the result. The Cardinals beat them.
Cardinals got them by double digits.
So Dallas is 3-5-1, right? I'm not using some dyslexia to look at the standings here, and they're 5-3-1. Does Jerry know that they have a bad record and that as of this moment, they're barely in the hunt graphic?
Well, I understand your confusion, but what we're doing Texas, it's losses first, win second.
Okay. That makes more sense, Jerry.
There it is.
If that's how this is going.
That's how I do it.
I mean, the buyers of the deadline are the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, now, they got the draft capital from Micah Parsons, and it apparently was very hot in their pocket. It's burning a hole Well, we got to use it. We better use it now. Now, I like Quinnen Williams. I think it's an okay move.
Shtick aside, we'll see. I want all the full compensation to know the specifics of the deal and what's going back. But in 2019, he was the number 3 overall pick. He's only 27 years old, so he's been in the league now for a long time. It's his 7th season, and he's about to be 28 years old in December. So this is a guy in the prime of his career who's still really, really good. He has had a 12-sack season. That was the Daron Payne outlier year. For the most part, it's 5 to 7 sacks as a defensive tackle who's a force. He's been an All-Pro once. It was way back in 22. He's been a Pro Bowler 3 times, probably had a chance in the AFC to get to a 4th straight Pro Bowl this year. So really good player, and he's under contract for at least next season. So while I joke about the Cowboys not knowing they aren't a contender this year, you're not just bringing him in presumably for this season and taking on the rest of his cap, but you're also in 2026 at $26.6 million cap number going to have him next year. You could potentially have him in his age 30 year in 2027 at $30 million against your cap as well. There's a get out of jail free after next year where it would only be $5 million in dead money. So they'll have a year and a half to figure out if they want to make it a 2.5-year deal with Quinnen Williams. But he's been one of the better D tackles in the league for the majority of the last several years. That's a really good football player they just traded for.
Yes, indeed. Now, who knows what scheme it was under or what he was asked to do or what's been different. So it's sometimes tough to judge an interior defensive lineman. Like, if you just look at sacks, yeah, he's had that one outlier year that you mentioned, like Daron Payne had, where it was double digits. For the most part, he's in that 5 or 6 range. But that's not all the impact. I mean, he is a force. He's a big badass. And frankly, he's, you know, going to make Daron Payne like money. I think it's 26 this year, 30 next year in terms of a cap hit, but under contract for a couple of years. And there's no point to that if you're the Jets. You are starting another rebuild. I'm not sure what build part of the build this is, or if it's the next build, or there's 2 builds from now. You're still in the middle of the 3rd build. I don't know what they're doing, but they're 1 win away from being defeated, and they got when they got the Bengals a couple weeks ago. So yeah, a high priced player like that getting a first round pick back makes a lot of sense.
If you look at PFF grade, and again, this is not the end all be all, but it's just a metric to give
data point,
an indicator. He's having a better year than he had last year, and he's having either the 3rd or 4th best year of his career out of the 8. So he's playing at a pretty high level this season via the people that grade him out on every single snap. This is just one, though, of a bevy of moves at the deadline today that have been really significant. I always joke about this idea that people treat the NFL trade deadline leading up to it as if it's basketball or baseball when it's such a different sport and the deadline is so different. But I got to say, we're getting closer and closer, man. I mean, we are getting to a point where it's no longer more smoke than fire. Like, there's a good bit of fire now at the NFL trade deadline. So just today, the Jets are having a "Are you a star?" fire sale. Then go out to the front lawn because we're having a yard sale and you're available. They traded Sauce Gardner to the Colts today for 2 first-round picks and Adonai Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell and 2 ones back to the Jets for cornerback Sauce Gardner. Danny, he's one of the stars at the position in the league, 25 years old.
What a player.
Former number 4 overall pick. His first 2 years in the NFL, he was an All-Pro. He has not been last year, and I don't think he would have been this year. He's in his 4th season. And via PFF, he's having his worst coverage year. For whatever reason, year 1, year 2, a lot better than year 3, and so far year 4. But this is the ultimate bring in this super talented guy and get yourself a lockdown, shutdown, legitimate corner 1. The Colts going for it with one of the best records in football.
Yeah, signed a massive deal too. So it's not like towards the end of that deal either. I think I think it's 2030 or maybe 2031 where there's finally an out. Like, he's a Colt now.
He just signed that deal, I think, last year.
Was it last year? I couldn't remember if it was last year or there before.
In fact, Indianapolis is incurring, from what I was reading. Russell and I were talking about the specifics on this before the show and the best we could figure it out. I believe it's going to be $45 million in dead money, because when you have all this guaranteed cash to a player and then you trade them really early on, you pay the piper a little bit. So it's kind of like they got 2 ones and Adonai Mitchell for Sauce Gardner and $45 million in dead cap.
I see.
They had to take on a huge dead cap penalty to make this trade. But they're clearly, as a terrible organization right now, blowing it up. Gardner was their best player. Quinnen Williams was probably their 2nd best player, and they've both been moved today. They're getting major draft compensation back.
Yeah, I'd expect Breece Hall to be on the move too, by the way. A couple contenders could certainly use him. Kansas City would be a great fit. Just, you know, throwing that out there.
If you're trading those 2 guys, You could trade anybody.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I'm trading Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. Everyone in this room can go.
Yeah, these the two, as you said, two of my three or four best players, linchpins of what was supposed to be my rebuild, they're not. That's the best currency we've got to really start this whole thing anew.
The Sauce Gardner deal is the biggest trade of the day in name value. Quinnen Williams is now second. I'll tell you which one I actually like a lot, which is a sneaky awesome trade, was the Seahawks going and getting Rashid Shaheed. Rashid Shaheed's one of the fastest players in the NFL. He's played in New Orleans on a bad team, not a very good offense, without great quarterbacks over the last couple of years. And so he's kind of operated in anonymity. But for New Orleans, a bottom feeder picking high in the draft to get a fourth and a fifth round pick back is exactly what they should have done. But we just saw Seattle. They're a one-man band at receiver, essentially, with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I love the rookie from Colorado State, Torrey Horton, who caught two touchdowns against Washington. He's outstanding. But he's, you know, he's an okay possession-type threat. To have someone now that could take the lid off for them in their play-action game and to open up those digs and those crossers and those things for Njigba, they're already a tough out on offense. They can't really run it, but I think this will help them with that too. Good luck stacking a box when Rashid Shaheed's running go routes, nine balls, and posts. Damn, if they didn't make the perfect trade for that offense.
It's savvy. It didn't cost you a ton either. So if Washington was good, hear me out, if they were and they weren't banged up and it wasn't a disaster, that's who I wanted them to go after. Not necessarily if you want to swing for the fences and spend a first-round pick on somebody and reinforce something, go get a pass rusher, Trey Hendrickson, I don't know who's available, whatever. That was the guy where he's not a great all-around receiver, but the one thing he does is the thing that you lack, and it strikes fear in defenses. His ability to go over the top is exactly what this offense needs. Now, again, this offense needs a lot, and they need Jaden Daniels to be healthy and a time machine. But if they were competitive, that's the kind of guy I'd go after. That's a smart move by Seattle.
Here's another good trade of a wide receiver that went down this afternoon. The Jags have a wideout issue right now because they just drafted Travis Hunter. He is out indefinitely. The Colorado product they took in the top five, traded up to get. He's dealing with an issue. So he's out. And for some reason, and I don't know why, I was walking around here all offseason screaming about how good Brian Thomas Jr. was and yelling at everybody about BTJ being the next star in the league. And right now, I couldn't have been more wrong because he has completely taken a step back this year. I still love the player, loved him at LSU, love him now. That said, he just hasn't been the same.
Just hasn't worked.
They go out and get Jacoby Myers, who I think is one of the most underrated possession receivers in the entire NFL. He comes over from the Raiders to the Jags, who are desperate for receiver help. For Jacksonville, you know Liam Cohen's going to make that work, get him open, scheme him up a little bit. Vegas gets fourth and sixth round pick back for Jacoby Myers, which I think, again, bad team, prioritizing the future. They stink at the NFL level. Get a couple of mid-round picks back right now. Everybody wins in that deal, but I think Myers is going to be big for Jacksonville in their playoff push.
And they're very much a playoff team right now. They're in. They're the 7 seed with Kansas City outside looking in at 5-4, but you know they're breathing down your neck. So you needed to solidify that spot. All of a sudden, this Jaguars defense is competent. They turn you over to a pretty good clip. Trevor Lawrence still hasn't taken that leap or next step to carry people, so this is certainly an asset that's going to help. And again, didn't cost very much.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. NFL trade deadline day. As anything breaks, we'll get it to you first for your one-stop shop for all things football news all over the league today, and especially here in D.C. with the Commanders. We'll get back into how they could handle the deadline in a few. But next, let's talk Frankie Louvu. He's been suspended for one game for 3 hip drop tackles. How do we feel about that? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan at 3 o'clock in a half hour. Ben Standig, who covers the Commanders, stops by. We'll talk to Ben about the trade deadline in the NFL, which is set for 90 minutes out at 4 o'clock. That's when we're giving away Foo Fighters tickets today, right at 4. And Bill Jacory Crosky Merritt's going to join us coming up at 5 on Grant and Danny. The league sent out a press release last night, made an announcement that Frankie Luvu had been suspended one game, and they highlighted that he had been penalized three times, not with flags at any point, but with fines after the game for hip drop tackles. These are the tackles they're trying to get out of the game that they have made a point to rid football of because they're the most dangerous tackle in the sport at this point. This is when you put all of your body weight basically off of the ground while leaping, simultaneously wrapping a player and then pulling them to the ground, landing on the back of their feet from behind, essentially is how I would describe it. The videos that have been dropped on the times that Luvu's gotten fined, weeks 4, 8, and 9, including a play against Kansas City and then a play this week against Seattle, are available. And I particularly think the one against Seattle is fairly ticky-tack. It's got some hip drop tendencies, so to speak, but it's not a by-the-book hip-drop tackle. It's kind of from the side. But Danny, one-game suspension at a time where they can't afford it. They're already without edge defenders on the depth chart at the first, second, and fourth spots on their depth chart. Dorrance Armstrong, unavailable. Dietrich Wise, unavailable. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, not there. And now Luvu is an edge. He is no longer really a linebacker for this team, and you'll be without him against the Detroit Lions in a game where you're trying to get right on defense.
Yeah, so the one against Seattle that you're talking about, and I've got I tweeted a video of it, or retweeted Tom Pelissero, who tweeted it, at Funny Danny. That one's so ticky-tack. Like, that's not a hip-drop tackle to me. Like, I understand the point of the rule. I actually don't have a problem with him being fined for the other ones. The other ones are absolutely definition of. Where I'm frustrated, and where I think a lot of Washington fans are frustrated, is Jaden Daniels probably isn't going to play the rest of the season. He's been injured a few different times. You'll never guess what kind of tackle resulted in his injury. I bet you could spend a million years. Oh, wait, I got pictures right there. I apologize. I don't know who to credit for the photo. My buddy sent it to me. A number of people have sent it to me, in fact. Three different times he is absolutely the victim of one of these kinds of tackles. Where is my message from the league? Where is my fine? Where is my announcement? Where is my, hey, we're trying to get this out of the game? Actually, I don't have a problem suspending Luvu. I don't. I know that's not going to be popular here in D.C. You violated the rule enough times, they fined you, so they let you know we're trying to get rid of this. You can't come close. It negates you. It's like Tom Wilson being punished for being Tom Wilson. It's bad luck. I'm sorry. My frustration is, where is any bit of consistency? Where is any bit of anybody else facing dire consequences for now? My quarterback is done for the year.
So here's what I don't know, and I don't know if you've taken the time to do this or not, but I'd assume nobody knows. Did those players get fined for those hip drop tackles? That would be my question. So Montez Sweat was the Bear who pulled Jaden Daniels down from behind on a hip drop tackle. The Seahawks one is hip droppy in that you kind of have your weight as you dive and you're off of the ground, but looking at
it's not as bad as some of the other ones he's been a victim of, but it's also it's worse, if that's a way to put it, than Luvu's, the latest one he got fined for.
Possibly so, but I'm looking at this tackle. This is not a hip drop tackle. It's a dangerous tackle for sure. The one that's definitely like textbook hip drop was the Packers one where he got hurt. I don't remember who it was, but number 55 bringing him down, and he's basically landing on his heel, so to speak, behind him, and Jaden's going to the ground. My point is, Frankie Louvu did not get suspended for any one hip drop tackle. He got suspended for three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if 55 of Green Bay or if 98 of Chicago or whoever this Seahawk is, you know, if those guys do this three times, then you'll get your consistency. Meaning, did they get fined three times? It's a system, right? So the third time, after your third fine, first time we're telling you you're doing it, you better stop. Second time, hey, one more, you get suspended. And then with Frankie Louvu the next week, that's what happened. I want to have a different conversation, which is going to be less popular than the thing you just said, which is, I don't think you should suspend guys for hip drop tackles. I'm sorry. Now, I know that it is a really dangerous play. And if the league wants to penalize 15 yards, which is significant, for that, they should absolutely do it. If they want to fine guys a significant amount of money, 15 grand, 20 grand, 25 grand, 50 grand for it, they should absolutely do it. But it is such a fast, violent sport, and it's so hard. Like, I'm watching the Louvu Smith and Jigba tackle at the 47-yard line where he comes from the side, and I'm going to use air quotes here, hip drop tackles him. This third one, they got him the suspension. And I could go over this 100 times and not really know. Is it by the book? Is that exactly what it is? I don't know. But a suspension is such a big deal to me for a tackle. That is, it's not a dirty play, right? He's not, like, taking an elbow to someone's head. It's not the dude from the Texans who's, like, going to the sideline while someone's getting water and taking a bat to his kneecap. Like, this is a very normal football play that's happening, right? And I don't care if it's two times, three times, four times, five times. None of these by themselves do you watch and you're like, oh, my God, that's so dirty. Someone watching the game, my brother, my mom, my uncle, a former NFL player, wouldn't for one second go, oh, that was a gross tackle by Louvu. Is it something they're trying to get out of the game? Yes. Is it viewed as a more dangerous play because it is? Sure. I don't like the suspension part. And I remember when Tom Wilson or one of the Capitals got suspended for a hit, my defense, and everyone said I was a homer, was like, suspend people for stuff that is not in the flow of the
game. Yeah, in the course of the game. So the hit he got suspended for that I think was the objection for us was two guys saw each other. The one smaller guy went after Tom Wilson and lost.
Yeah.
Like he ran into the freight train, lost, and was like suspended for a month, whatever the hell it was.
If Frankie Louvu, like well after a quarterback throws a ball, 1 second, 2 second, boom, cleans him out. You want to suspend him for something where he like made a malicious decision? I could have more reason for that to say, okay, this is not it for me. I was killing Frankie Louvu, who might have been my favorite player on the team coming into the season and is still one of them, by the way, a glue guy, heart and soul guy. I was killing him in September because he was missing a million tackles. Go look at the PFF numbers, Danny. Nobody missed more tackles on this team than him in the first few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he doing? He's not wrapping. He's using his shoulder. Now he's wrapping and getting guys on the ground with this illegal tackle, and now he's getting suspended for wrapping and tackling. I just don't like the precedent of suspending guys for flow of the game tackles in the NFL. I'm sorry, and I know everyone will tell me, oh, that's crazy. I don't care if it's a Commander, a Cowboy, an Eagle. Watch any of those plays and tell me, like, that's a terrible, dirty play. Is it a more dangerous tackle, according to the league's numbers? Yes. But this is the slippery slope that I don't like when we start to say, oh, you can't do that, I'm going to fine you. You're going to suspend me after three? Two of which you can make the case, maybe I'm not so sure about that one. One of them I don't even get. I'm getting suspended for a game for this? I don't like that at all.
I don't love it, but if it's, you know, that's how it's written in the bylaw, it's one of those things I'm going to shrug my shoulders and go, that stinks. And again, especially because one of them at a minimum to me does not even come close to rising to the level of egregious.
Like, it's not dangerous in the way that they're saying, or violent, so to speak. His legs are not underneath of Louvu on that last tackle.
Right. So when you go, like, I don't have a good analogy for it, but it's like if you say, Grant and Danny, on your show, there can't be any contact to the head. And I go, oh, Grant, that's so funny. And I flick your ear. That's contact to your head. Am I suspended now? You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between what you're trying to legislate out of the game and a play where a guy's just hustling back and trying to bring a ball carrier down. This the ones that, again, that I keep pointing to, Daniels was a victim of, far more egregious, far more dangerous. Ask Cam Scatterbill about the play. He's out for the season and had to get surgery and stayed overnight in Philadelphia because of one of these plays, right? Like, that's what you're trying to get rid of. That one wasn't that. So I understand the irritation there. And I think there needs to be some discretion where you go, okay, that wasn't the bad one. But just so you know, you're on thin ice. Send that note. You've got two. Hopefully these guys are made aware, hey, that's one. Hey, that's two. Another one and you're suspended. That one, I think, you know, Luvu may be able to fight that last one. But the other two times, I think he did it.
He is appealing, by the way. And I'm sure there's a hearing that comes with that. But yeah, they're obviously getting warnings. I don't think you're getting fines and you have no idea that you're on the precipice of being suspended. You know, my guess is that letter that's in your locker, when it tells you here's where to send the money, they're telling you here's your second strike in the three-strike policy. And somebody with the team, presumably, was also telling him, hey, man, you can't do this again or you're getting suspended. By the way, I'm watching the Scataboo injury. Like, again, respectfully, I'll be unpopular for this. This is such a normal football tackle. The linebacker is trying to bring this giant dude down from behind who's trying to catch a pass. Scataboo runs like a little arrow or choice route, it seems like, kind of in-breaking on the logo at midfield. And the Eagle behind him has him wrapped as a form tackle and is dropping him to the ground. And the way that has been done, that's the way Dad did it. That's the way Uncle did it. That's the way Grandpa did it. It's just always been the way. And now they're saying you can't tackle this way. It looks like a very normal form tackle because he lands on his foot. And yes, it's dangerous. It broke the dude's ankle and he's out for the year. And I see why the league is trying to get rid of the play. I'm not saying you can't throw a flag on that or fine the guy for that. But if that player does that three times, do I think that tackle, one that broke someone's foot and cost them the rest of their year, is worth a one-game suspension? I don't think so. I'm sorry. I think that's a huge punishment for playing football. It's a really violent sport. It's hard to get big guys on the ground. You guys can react to that if you want to at 800-636-1067 next on Grant and Danny. We'll get your thoughts on the news that Frankie Luvu's been suspended one game. Get you an update on the trade deadline as well next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Ben standing on the trade deadline for the Commanders in 10 minutes. We'll get into what they might do and why it's going to be hard for them to pull off the deals everybody wants them to as sellers today with Ben coming up in 15 minutes at 3 o'clock. Also on the show today, at 4, we're giving away Foo Fighters tickets, and at 5, Bill Jacory Krosky Merritt will be with us live on Grant and Danny. Frankie Luvu suspended one game because of 3 hip drop tackles. I hate that you can even be suspended a game for 3 hip drop tackles. Danny doesn't mind that as much, but thinks that the 3rd hip drop tackle shouldn't count.
Yeah, it's ticky-tacks. Like, if you're going to do that, it should easily rise to that level.
The only thing, if I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, that I could say is he got his 2nd letter in his locker this past week after the Chiefs game, where now you are on your P's and yeah. Q's because the suspension looms with another one, and then you do something that looks kind of hip drop tackle-y. And he's clearly not getting the message. A message that I don't think should ever warrant a suspension, but the league disagrees and there's a policy in place that he and all the players know about. Scotty is in Calvert. What's up, Scotty? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Grant Danny? Love y'all's show.
Appreciate you.
Thanks,
man. Listen to y'all every day coming home from school. I think that it's stupid how the league is going to penalize players who don't even get a penalty on the field and then they get punished after the fact, especially with the hip tackle. It's when the rule first came out, me and my friends were talking about it, and a bunch of high schoolers were even like, that's dumb. This is how we've all grown up playing football, and now it's illegal. I get that the league's trying to protect players and their legs, and they're trying to make it safer, but at a certain point, it's just like, how much safer can you get?
Great call.
Exactly
By
right.
the way, you can't hit up high. Don't come anywhere near his head. Because if it looks violent and near the head, you're getting flagged. And now you can't do whatever this is, but you can't go low because now you're tearing up people's knees. I don't know how you're supposed to defend in this league as it is.
Yeah, even if you started toward the midsection and he crunched, which every human being does when they're about to get hit, all of a sudden your target area changes after you've already launched yourself, and they'll go, well, that's unnecessary roughness. You're borderline kicked out of the game.
None of these plays that are resulting in his suspension were flagged in-game, by the way.
And I think to that point, it's too hard in real time, as fast as everything's going, for people to see that one.
It's the exact case.
Yeah.
If the referee in real time didn't see it, this play that you need to rid the game of, then are we sure Frankie Luvu in real time felt like he was doing that or did something with malice? And they'd say it doesn't matter if it was malicious or not. It reaches the threshold. But it's an arbitrary thing that costs a player a game and a game check. I don't like that. Max in Vegas, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up?
What's going on, Grant and Fanny? I'm a big fan of you guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Great, man. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I you know, this whole thing with the hip drop, I understand that they're trying to, like the other guy said, they're trying to get them to where players aren't getting hurt, just superstars out there, and it's, you know, but at the same time, the suspense, I know, I met Frankie a couple times. I worked at Lansdowne over there at the golf course. I don't know if you guys play there or not, but I met him. Von Miller was in the cart with him when he left, but yeah, I asked him. I said, dude, what is it? I said, why do you play so hard? What is it? He said, it's my culture, bro. He said, we go 100%, 110%. That's the way it is, and we're never going to stop. I said, well, man, I appreciate you, and I love you for that. That's why I got your jersey, you know? So he's one of those players. He's one of those guys that's going to give it 150%. You know what I mean?
He is, and now you're trying to change the way he plays and legislate out this tackle, which is admirable. But You better be damn sure if you're suspending a guy a game.
And I think that's the point. Like, to me, like, I grew up in an era of, like, Steve Atwater and Chuck Cecil. They were literally trying to, you know, flying headbutt guys, crown of their helmet. I get that. You're trying to get rid of that, and rightfully so. Because that's dangerous to everybody involved. This is one of those, you're working back from a result, and even that's a little bit iffy. It's just so damned hard. And again, if you're going to suspend somebody for it, they need to be, like, I think two of them were absolutely the correct call, again, with this law, letter of the law. I think the third one absolutely has to be, regardless of when the timing of the warning was.
I would point people to the Scataboo injury, again. That is a very normal football tackle. It's an illegal hip drop. And if that guy does that two more times, and by the way, he broke someone's foot and he's out for the year, he's suspended. And yet, how in the hell else are you supposed to tackle Cam Scataboo right there on that point in the field if he catches that ball? You're not. You just can't. How's he supposed to defend him? That's my question. We'll ask Ben Standing about this next. We've also got to tee up the trade deadline. Are the Commanders going to do anything in the next hour? We're Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.